Om Shanti. Today's Murli is 21st December 2019, and the essence is sweet children. You souls have to charge your batteries with the powers of knowledge and yoga, and thereby make yourselves satopradhan, not by bathing in water. So, I'd like to start off with this story. It's a Zen story. And one day a person climbed up a mountain where a hermit woman was meditating. She had taken refuge and she was asked, "What are you doing here all alone in such a solitude place?" To which she replied, "Well, I have lots of work." "And how can you have so much work? I don't see anything around you." And she replied, "I have to train 2 hawks and 2 eagles, assure 2 rabbits, discipline 1 snake, motivate 1 donkey, and tame 1 lion. And the man replied, "Well, where have they gone? I don't see them." And she responded, "Well, I have them all inside here within me. The hawks stare on everything that is presented to me, good or bad. I have to work on them to see only good things. They are my eyes. The 2 eagles with their claws hurt and destroy. I have to train them not to hurt. They are my hands. Rabbits want to go where they want. At the same time, they do not want to face difficult situations. I have to teach them to be calm, even if there is suffering or stumbling. They are my feet. The donkey is always tired, stubborn, and does not want to carry the load each time I walk. And that is my body. And the most difficult to tame is the snake. Although it is locked in a strong cage with 32 bars, it is always ready to sting, bite, and poison anyone nearby. I have to discipline it, and that's my tongue. Oh yes, and I have the lion. How proud, vain he thinks that he is the king. I have to tame him. And that's my ego. So you see, my friend, I have lots of work." And I think we would say the same thing, that we have so much work to do all day to ensure that our battery stays charged. And for this very reason, that we have to tame all the senses, all the organs. And so Baba is saying today, charge your batteries with the powers of knowledge and yoga. So let's see what we were charging our batteries with otherwise. Mostly material things. Maybe we went to nature, maybe some religious congregation or did some bhakti. And maybe some of us were already dabbling in other kinds of spirituality and we felt a kind of a charge from that. But real charging needs real connection. And so let's talk about connection, because whatever we connect with, we are charged with that. So if we connect with angry people, then we begin to become angry. If we connect with negative people, we become negative. If we connect with greedy people, we start being greedy ourselves. They want more? No, I want more too. And if we start to connect with God, then we become spiritually charged. So charging happens by connecting 2 things, right? We all know the familiar example of the mobile phone. So every day we have to charge the phone to the wall, to the main socket, or to the power bank. And of course, if the power bank runs out, we need to remember to charge that too. Also, remember the times when your car battery died in the middle of the road, and then you had to call someone over with those conductor wires, those electrodes, to help you charge your car. So connecting is always with two things, and it depends on you what you're connecting what with, and that charge will come across. So of course we want to charge ourselves with the positive, with the familiar, means with Baba. And now let's look at the ways we have leakage. And we all know the usual thoughts of leakage, which is negative thoughts, waste thoughts, doubt, worry, fear, expectations, sorrow, taking sorrow, giving sorrow. But maybe a few others that aren't so obvious, which is what this lady was talking about in the story, and that is excessive action. I mean, we lose so much of our energy in thinking that we're being smart by doing more, when actually we're being foolish. Because overaction depletes our energy. And even with service, we have to be careful, because if it's not done with the highest intention, then we will become tired. Pure intention energizes us, and impure intention will make us tired. And this ties in with the next point of leakage, which is we hoard a lot of possessions. And we have to ask ourselves why we're doing that. What is the purpose of holding on to things? Is it ego-based, image-based? Is it fear-based? Is it attachment-based, which is insecurity? And the more things we have, the more energy that takes. That's why the hermit wants to renounce everything and live on the mountain. They own little so that they have little to think about, so more time can be given to the inner work. And isn't that the case with our homes? Like, the more things we have, the more things we have to move every time we dust our room. And I remember seeing this video on the Buddhists, and they are not allowed to own more than 2 or 3 robes. And if someone gives them an extra one, then they have to give them up within 10 days. So they're back to that original number. So they're not allowed to keep anything extra or in excess. Another way we lose power is through excessive talk. Again, why do we talk? Why do we talk so much? Do we need to use 10 words when we can use 2? And do we need to relate the whole story? Sometimes everyone feels they have to tell the whole story to put across their point. And what is the purpose of speaking? Is it necessary? Is it important? Is it kind? Right? These are some of the things we need to check. Because again, we can talk. You're allowed to talk. But you're left with little or no energy. So like in Hindi we say, you know, tol ke bol, which means weigh your words before speaking. And Swami Muktanand once said, the power of your words increases in direct proportion to the silence that you keep. So it's true, we need to say only few words and they will be powerful words. Another energy leak is addictions, and sometimes it's unconscious. But our addiction to food and, you know, making sure we have all the spices on the table, the extra salt, the pickles, the sauerkraut. Is it addiction? Is it a need? Is it a want? What is it? And every time we're putting attention to it, it's taking energy. Or addiction to shopping, addiction to touring around, even addiction to comfort. Sometimes we are trying so hard to create the external comfort. And even when that's perfect, we're still not peaceful inside. So we forget that we have to work on the inside and take time to work on the inner comfort, the inner room of the mind. And so the key to charging here is connecting with knowledge and yoga. That's what Baba's saying today. Connect with knowledge and yoga. So let's look at knowledge first. And many times in the Murali, Baba says, remember your aim and objective. So this means to remember the purpose of what we do and why we do it. Because this gives us a boost. And whatever is happening, we understand that it's actually making us perfect. If my aim and objective is in front, it's clear, then everything that's happening to me during the day, I accept that, yes, it's taking me to my aim and objective, which is that perfection. So knowledge is always a good reminder. I mean, to keep the knowledge in the intellect is always a good reminder. So points such as everything is accurate, or there's a secret behind everything that is happening, all these kinds of points help us to maintain our inner power. Reminding myself that I'm a peaceful soul helps me to keep my calm or emerge my calm from within. Knowledge that this world is ending, so why should I increase my karmic accounts? This encourages me not to be a shareholder in creating more karma. Understanding the role of each vice and role of Maya and Ravan, that it wants to keep us away from the light, also makes us more aware and alert so that we don't lose our power. So knowledge is overall very good. Knowledge helps us to kind of stay on the straight and narrow. And yoga, well, we know that nothing happens without yoga. The real depth of transformation takes place only with yoga. So again, we need to ask ourselves, what's the resistance to sitting with ourselves? Why do we always want to be distracted? Why does the monkey mind keep jumping and prompting us to do this and that and finish off the other or keep busy? What's the resistance? Why I can't just sit still and be at one with Baba? So Baba uses the word remembrance for yoga. So to remember means to remember myself, to reconnect myself with the highest one, with Baba, with my father. To remember how elevated we were, how great we were, from where we fell, how powerful we were, how beautiful, how rich. Baba's asking us to remember all that. It's like waking up from some deep sleep. Baba's saying, wake up and remember who you are. So to me, when he says, remember me, it's all of that. Remember I came. Remember I gave you the inheritance. Remember I sent you to the golden age. And don't forget. And Baba says we forget because we become body conscious, which is the steep sleep of Kumbhakarna. So Kumbhakarna was the younger brother of Ravan. And so this kind of deep slumber is also like ravenous. It's deadly, it's vicious. Because the sleep does not allow us to wake up and see our real self. So first of all, we need to consider ourselves to be souls. That's what Baba said in the Murali too. And that is the first premise of yoga. Forget everything else, everyone else, and just remember ourselves to be a soul, just a point, just a dot. And it's like, as I said, conducting electricity. It has to be metal to metal, soul to soul. I cannot feel Baba if I'm body conscious and connecting with him. And of course, he cannot become body conscious. So we must become soul conscious. If I'm to feel Baba, I have to become soul conscious. Really to go into the depth of who I am, what I am, how I am. And so Baba said that we thought the Ganges purified us, and it's not true. And of course, if the Ganges were the purifier, they'd be heaven on earth by now. In fact, I remember when I was little, my mother had brought a little Eno bottle filled with Ganges water, and it didn't look very clean. So nothing happened to us. We didn't become pure. I had a spoon of it. So it's not that easy, actually. The only method for purification is yoga. Knowledge helps us to sustain ourselves and prevents us from creating further negative karma, but it's only yoga that purifies us and our past. And so Baba said, when we do that, we become Satto Pradhan. So Sat means truth. Pradhan means chief, like we have Pradhan Mantri, who is chief minister or prime minister. And so truth is the chief quality of the golden age. That's why it's called Sat Yug, the age of truth. So in a sense here, truth and purity is synonymous. When I'm pure, I'm true. When I'm true, I'm pure. And that's the main quality in the soul. And that's our aim, actually. I mean, even when we say Lakshmi Narayan, that's really representative of purity and truth. So Sattva Pradhan is translated as pure, but we know that by following our truth, our path of truth, being true to ourself. So truth is the prime quality in the soul. And that's our passport to the golden age. And because we are honest and true with our efforts, that's why we get to go to the golden age. Truth is in its climax, in its highest stage. And so golden age can also be known as the age of truth or the real age, the age of reality, because we know that this is the false age. It shows us one thing and it's something else. But golden age, it's the real thing, it's the real deal. And so Baba often uses this metaphor that the milk of a lioness is so potent that no container can hold it except for pure gold. If the golden vessel has any kind of impurity, then that milk will eat through that vessel like acid at those points and drain away. And so if there's any slight part of us that's not become pure, then there will be that leakage and we cannot retain the knowledge or the love, Baba's love. So we have to purify the soul. And then sometimes people say, well, we hear the knowledge every day, but what's the point? Nothing seems to change in us. They say, we have the yoga, we have the knowledge, but what's the point? And so I'll end with a story now. And the story is about a young boy who told his granddad the same thing. He said, I hear these scriptures every day, but nothing is going inside. And nothing is changing. So his granddad told him to take the coal basket to the river and fill it with water and bring it back. So he did it first time to see what his granddad was trying to explain. But of course, by the time he got back, then there was no water retained in the basket. So the old man says, okay, can you go again? So he said, okay, let me try. So he went again and again. And again, and finally he retorted and he said, no, I'm not going again. What's your point? He said, can't you see the basket cannot hold any water? What's the point you're trying to prove? So his granddad said peacefully, yes, I know, but look inside the basket now. Is it not clean? And that was the point, that even though you cannot retain anything, but you're becoming clean from inside. We are becoming clean. So yes, as we expose ourselves to knowledge and yoga, as we take in the nectar of knowledge, we are becoming purer and cleaner. And that's why we have to persevere. So wishing you a lovely day. Om Shanti.